welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, radio series, as in continuing storylines. We'll pick up on tales from Speed Gibson and Chandu the Magician later. But right now, the first of a two-part story on Tom Corbett Space Cadet called Mystery of the Sparkling Meteor. Great for kids of all ages, from ABC, heard on April 8, 1952.
Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal, invites you to rocket into the future with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Stand by to raise ship. Blast off minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
As roaring rockets blast off to distant planets and far-flung stars, we take you to the age of the conquest of space with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Far out in space beyond the orbit of Mars, a small rocket scout patrols the blackness of the void, holding a steady course back and forth between the asteroid belt and the red planet. This is a ship on Comet Watch, the loneliest tour of duty in the entire Solar Guard.
Spaceport Control from Sector 7, Comet Watch, come in.
Sector 7 from Spaceport Control, Captain Strong here. Go ahead.
Captain Power is reporting. Time 0600, nothing to report. This sector, quiet and empty.
Sounds as dull as last year's newspapers.
Sure is, Strong. Hey, what are you doing on Control Watch anyhow?
Just filling in. One of the boys is on sick leave, but I'd much rather be here than pulling your duty.
How fast? Enough to make a guy believe in space gremlins. Oh, well, I'll be 12 more days and I'll be relieved.
Try not to get into any mischief.
I can't. Hey, wait a minute.
Huh? What's up?
Just spotted something out there in space.
Well, some action for you at last. What is it, some purple space junk?
No kidding, Strong. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. Large, oddly shaped, riding in parallel orbit with me.
Probably a stray asteroid.
Maybe. You ever see one on fire?
What?
Yeah. Looks like dozens of sparks flashing all over it. I'll contact you later, Strong. This, I've got to check.
Polaris unit, reporting for duty as ordered, Captain Strong.
All right. Stand easy, cadet. Corbett, what do you know about Comet Watch Patrol?
Well, it's a rocket scout that patrols outside the Mars orbit, watching for stray meteors or comets that might cross the space lane.
And how does it operate, Astro?
Well, the ship has a one-man crew. Everything aboard is automatic, including the signal, which is fed right to Astrogation Service here at the Academy.
Manning, can you add anything?
All I can say, sir, is that after a 30-day tour of duty like that, you come back talking to yourself.
Captain Strong, I may be out of order for asking this, but did you call us in just to quiz us on the Comet Watch?
No, Corbett. Just wanted to be sure you had the background to this operation.
What operation, sir?
Captain Powers on Comet Watch in Sector 7 has failed to report in the last 24 hours.
Hey, that sounds like trouble. All Comet Watches are supposed to check in every 6 hours.
Exactly.
But what about the automatic tracer beam? Is that cut out, too?
No, we're still getting it. The ship is holding its regular patrol orbit.
Well, then nothing could have happened to the ship. That's a cinch.
No, it's Captain Powers. Something's happened to him, and it's our job to find out what. So report to the Polaris immediately and prepare for blast-off in exactly 10 minutes. Long now, Tom. We should sight the scout any minute.
Radar bridge control deck, check in.
This may be it now, sir. Control deck aye. Go ahead, Roger.
I've got her, Tom. The rocket scout, right on my scanner.
Beat it down here, Manning, quick.
Aye, sir. There she is. You've got her.
That's the Comet Watch ship, all right.
Well, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with it, sir. She's not trailing any vapor.
See if you can establish audio contact.
Right, sir. Rocket cruiser Polaris to Comet Watch. Rocket cruiser Polaris to Comet Watch. Come in, Regulus. Well, it's no use, sir. There's no answer.
I'm not at all surprised, Tom. Take a look at her. You can see her through the viewport now. Tell me, how does she strike you?
From where I sit, sir, that rocket scout reminds me of a ghost ship drifting in space.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So stand by.
Spaceman, have you seen the swell Space Cadet cutouts you can get on packages of Kellogg's Pep? Boy, they're terrific.
Let me tell you about them. On every regular-sized package of Kellogg's Pep, you'll find a true-to-life photographic cutout of one of your favorites here at Space Academy. Each cutout is a detailed full-length picture, so you can get a close-up view of both the Space Cadet and an official Space Academy uniform. There's a cutout of Tom Corbett taken on one of his latest adventures. Another cutout shows you Dr. Joan Dale, Space Academy astrophysicist. And besides that, you can get pictures of Space Cadet Roger Manning and Cadet Astro. You want to get all four of these exciting picture cutouts, so don't delay. Go to your favorite grocery store and ask for a regular-sized package of Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Then, look on the back, and you'll see your Space Cadet picture all ready to cut out. For hanging on the wall, for pasting in scrapbooks, and for trading with your friends, these Kellogg's Pep cutouts are a double-barreled, rocket-blasting space travel knockout. And every time you get a package of Kellogg's Pep, you get another picture cutout right on the back. Keep blasting off down to that grocery store until you've got a complete Space Cadet cutout collection. Remember, you get another picture cutout every time you buy a regular-sized package of the Spaceman cereal, Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P.
Investigating the strange silence of Captain Powers, the Solar Guard officer on Comet Watch Patrol, Captain Strong and the Space Cadets find the small rocket scout drifting in space like a weird ghost ship. Launching a jet boat, Tom and Captain Strong cross over to the scout and board her.
Keep your helmet on, Corbett. Wait till the air pressure in the lock is equal to the pressure in the ship.
Of course, sir. Looks like the mechanical equipment of the ship is in good working order. She's cycling all right. Air pressure equalized. Portal open, sir.
Good. We can take off these fish bowls and go inside.
Everything down here seems to be okay, sir.
Yeah. Let's go to the control deck. The companionway is through here.
Right, sir.
Just a minute. Better let me go first.
All right, Tom. Come on. No one here on the control deck.
Looks to me like the ship is deserted. I don't think there's been anyone here in days.
It just doesn't make any sense. You stay here. I'll go topside. Maybe...
Wait a minute. Look, the hatch. It's opening.
That's the hatch. It leads right into the sleeping quarters. Get ready, Corbett. This may mean trouble.
All set. Nobody's coming out, sir.
All right, you. In there. Come on out. Come out or we'll blast you.
Captain Strong, it's only a kid.
Jupiter. Well, take care of him, Tom. I'd better have a look in here.
All right, sir. Oh, how in blazes did you get here, Sonny?
My father brought me.
Your father? Say, is Captain Powers your father?
Yes, sir. I'm Jody Powers.
Corbett, come in here.
Come on, Jody. You stick with me. Yes, sir. What the... Oh, great galaxy. Is that Captain Powers?
Yes, and he's unconscious.
My father's been lying there like that for 2 days, sir.
Well, what's wrong with him, Captain Strong?
I haven't the least idea, Tom. He has a raging fever, and he's delirious. Whatever hit him must have been very sudden and just as violent.
He's still in full uniform, even his boots. Looks like he just collapsed.
Sir, is my father going to die?
He's very sick, son. We'll do all we can to help him. But can you be a real spaceman now and help us?
I don't know, sir. I'll try.
Tell me, when did your father get sick?
2 days ago. I woke up and found him lying on his bunk. I tried to wake him up, but I couldn't.
Was he all right when you went to bed?
Yes, he was fine. He was watching something through the viewport. He was very excited.
It must have been that sparkling asteroid that he reported, sir.
Did your father always take you along on these trips? It is against regulations, you know.
Oh, no, sir, not always. This is the first time. Dad told my Aunt Julia that he wanted me with him this time. He said it wouldn't be so lonely out here if I came along.
I see. Well, Tom, whatever caused this, one thing is certain. We've got to get Captain Powers to a hospital and get him there quickly. You take Jody over to the Polaris in the jet boat. I'll rocket back to Earth with Captain Powers in his scout.
Alone, sir?
Yes, Tom. And until a ship can be sent out to relieve you, the Polaris will have to stay on Comet Watch.
We're having company. Meet Jody Powers.
Hello.
Huh?
A kid.
Hey, Jupiter.
Of all the blasted... Leave it to you, Junior, to fish something like this out of space.
Close your exhaust, Roger. Jody's had enough trouble without listening to your space gas.
Who is he, Tom?
Captain Powers' son. His father's very sick, so the skipper's blasting back to Earth with him in the scout. Captain Powers needs medical attention fast.
But what do we do now?
Oh, you're going to love this, pal.
The Polaris is staying here on Comet Watch until relieved.
What? And we're taking care of Jody, too.
Well, three cheers for the crew of the Polaris. Not only are we stuck with Comet Watch, but the big space heroes have suddenly become babysitters.
Blasted, I wish that relief ship would arrive.
Me, too. You realize how long we've been in this tub, Junior? Seeing nothing but these gray walls inside and black empty space outside.
Well, what do you want us to do? Arrange a pretty landscape out there for you?
And that kid, Jody.
What about him?
He's getting in my hair. Why does he always have to tag after me?
Ah, he's just lonesome. And he happens to like you.
Why? I'll never know.
Well, do us both a favor and keep him out of my hair. He's getting to be a pest.
Hey, there goes your space junk warning. Better get a fix and report to spaceport control.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to let a meteor plow right into Commander Arkwright's window. And listen, remember what I said. Keep that kid off the radar bridge.
I don't know. When they gave Manning a heart, they must have carved it out of a Martian ice cap.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, hello, Jody. What have you been doing?
Just looking around on the power deck.
Hey, how about something to eat?
No, thanks. I'm not very hungry, Astro. Where's Roger?
Up on the radar bridge.
May I go up there and visit him?
I think you better stay down here with us for a while.
I'd rather go up there. I'm sure Roger will be glad to see me.
Oh, sure. He'll be so happy, he'll blow his jet.
I'll see you later, fellas.
What are you gonna do? We make a fuss over him and he brushes us off. Roger pushes him around and the kid worships him.
Sighted on orbit, cutting space cave 3. That is all. End transmission.
Hello, Roger.
You here again? I thought I told you to stop following me.
I know. But if I just sit here real quiet, can't I watch you work the radar scanner?
That's not fake, kid.
You know, I'll bet you are the best astrogator in the whole academy.
Well, look, I wouldn't say that. Captain Strong's pretty good, too. But I pulled this crew out of plenty side squeezes.
They're lucky to have you on their crew, Roger. You're a real spaceman.
Yeah. Hey, what am I gassing with you for? I got work to do. Come on, I'm taking you down to the control deck, and this time you stay there.
Go blow your jet.
And don't let me catch you. Huh?
Stab your tubes, Manning.
Why, you little... Hey, you've got spirit. You know, you're not such a bad kid at that. I think I'm beginning to like you.
You are?
Yeah, I guess you and me can do business together. But not right now. It's way past your sack time.
Oh, Roger.
You heard me, Junior, and a good space cadet always obeys orders.
A space cadet? Me?
Well, space cadet J.G. Now, come on, let's blast. I'll take you below.
Say, isn't that your space junk warning?
Yeah, probably just another pebble. Forget it.
But shouldn't you report it?
I can do that later. Now, cut the stalling. You're going to sack in this minute. Come on.
Great galaxy, Tom. Did you ever see anything like that in your life?
No, it looks like the whole asteroid is shooting off sparks. Hey, turn that alarm off, will you, Astro?
Oh, sure thing. Do you think we'd better check Roger and make sure he's reporting it back to spaceport control?
No, whatever you say about that joker, at least he's always on the ball.
I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Hey, Astro. I just remembered something.
Huh?
What? Captain Strong told us that in the last audio contact he had with Captain Powers, Powers reported seeing a strange asteroid. An asteroid that shot off sparks.
Hey, that's right. You think there's a connection?
Well, I can't be sure. But this better be reported to the skipper, too.
Okay, I'll tell Roger to start calling.
You tell me to what?
Roger, what in blazes were you doing below?
Putting Jody to bed. And no wisecracks, Astro. That kid's okay.
Then you haven't reported that meteor.
What meteor?
Look out there, bubblehead. See it?
It's drifting away from us now.
Yeah, what's so important about that?
Are you space happy? That's the same meteor Captain Powers saw when he made his last report. The one that looks like it's on fire.
Oh, so what? There's plenty of time to report it.
How? You didn't even get a fix on her. Now you can't project her orbit. It's too late.
Stop fusing your tubes. It isn't that important. 9 out of 10 of the meteors we report don't go anywhere near the space lane. This won't be any exception.
By the rings of Saturn, sometimes I could take
you could take me and what?
Hey, hold it, you two. We're getting a call on the teleceiver. Rocket Cruiser Polaris, Cadet Tom Corbett here. Go ahead.
Corbett, this is Captain Strong.
Oh, yes, sir. How's Captain Powers? Did you get him back in time?
He was still alive when I landed, but that's about all. The medicals are doing their best for him now. You'd better not tell Jody anything until we're sure one way or the other. minute.
Of course, sir.
Tom, don't forget to tell him about that meteor. Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, Corbett. The main reason I called you is about that meteor.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sir. I was just going to...
If you see it, I want you to stay clear of it.
What?
We're not sure, but we think it caused Captain Powers' strange illness and the deaths of three other Solar Guard officers in the past 15 years. So you ought to return to Space Academy immediately.
What about our release, sir?
Comet Watch Patrol in Sector 7 is to be temporarily abandoned. We're not taking any chances. You understand your orders?
Well, yes, sir, but...
That's all. End transmission.
Fellas, did you hear that?
Yeah, every word. And our pal, Roger, here, let that blasted meteor go by without charting its orbit. Heaven help any ship that gets near it.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So stand by. Listen to the powerful blast-off of a giant rocket cruiser flashing up, up, up into the heavens. There's power for you. The roaring drive of the rockets bursting through Earth's gravity off into space. The men who ride those rockets have to be in top flight physical condition or else. Now that's why all space cadets call for Kellogg's Pep. Here's Cadet Astro to tell you in his own words how Kellogg's Pep helps to keep the space cadets ready for action.
Cadet Astro here. Kellogg's Pep does help the space cadets keep ready for action. And Pep can help you spacemen the same way. Now, all spacemen need vitamins and energy food values to keep up steam for a busy day. And when you eat Kellogg's Pep every morning, you're getting a head start with a swell supply of sunshine vitamin D and vitamin B1. Now, Pep also gives you the rugged nourishment of whole wheat with the wheat germ left in. As a matter of fact, Kellogg's Pep gives you more of these build-up food values than any other wheat flakes. Say, it's no wonder the space cadets bank on Kellogg's Pep for a quick morning blast-off. You just tackle a bowl full of Kellogg's Pep tomorrow morning, like I do. Then you'll be starting your day the spaceman's way.
Hear that, spaceman? Eat the same kind of breakfast Astro and all the cadets do. And when you get your package of Kellogg's Pep, look for your exciting space cadet cutout. Remember, there's another picture of one of your favorite space cadets on the back of every package of Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P. Learning that Roger's neglect of duty has endangered the space lanes of the Solar Alliance, the crew of the Polaris rockets after the strange and deadly sparkling asteroid to warn all space traffic away. Now, after hours of tension, the boys slowly begin to relax, feeling their job has been done.
Control deck to radar bridge, check in.
Radar bridge, aye.
Picking up any other ships on your scanners, Roger?
Nope, none for the last hour.
How about the meteor?
Still have it. Hold present speed and distance. I'm keeping us far away from it.
You've plotted the orbit and reported it to spaceport control, haven't you?
Yeah, no. I guess they've warned all space traffic by now.
No, then I guess we can head back to the academy. But the skipper will sure chew us out for being late.
What are you going to tell him?
Oh, think of something, I guess. Let's worry about that when we land.
Thanks, Tom.
Ah, forget it. Give me a new heading now.
Right. Hey, what's going on down there?
What do you mean?
We're closing in on that meteor fast.
Oh, that's impossible. We haven't changed speed or course.
It's a cinch the meteor hasn't. Check Astro, quick. Remember what the skipper said about getting too close to that thing.
Stand by. Control deck to power deck. Check in, Astro.
Get it, Tom. Right here.
Well, what's going on, Astro? Roger reports we're closing in on the meteor. You giving me more power?
Yeah, but I can't help it. The master speed control is jammed.
How did that happen?
That cute little passenger of ours, Jody. He was fooling around down here. Loosened one of the brackets and the control lever slipped out of gear.
Well, can't you fix it?
I'm working on it right now, but it'll take me at least 10 minutes.
Roger, you hear that?
That's too long, Astro. We'll be on top of the meteor in 3 at this rate.
Well, cut your rockets, Astro, all of them.
That won't do any good. Our momentum will carry us along at the same speed.
And we can't turn fast enough with just steering vanes.
Better make up your mind fast, Tom. Those sparks are getting big.
Well, there's only one chance. Astro, set steering vanes hard over to port.
Hard over, right.
Now, stand by forward braking rockets.
Ready? What good will that do, Tom? We can't turn fast enough.
I think we can if we fire starboard torpedoes. Stand by main battery, Roger.
Okay, all set.
Last nose rockets, Astro.
Here goes!
All right, Roger, get set.
Give me the word, pal, but fast.
Main battery salvo, fire! Now, fellas, just pray as hard as you can.
Thank you.
to radar bridge. Give me a report, Roger.
We're clear, Tom. The meteor is almost off my scanner.
Wow. Don't want to do that again.
You feel sick or anything?
No. How about you?
Just fine. I guess we cleared it okay. Be right down.
Okay.
All right, Jody, you just get up here and tell Tom what you did.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Honest, I didn't.
Well, whether you meant it or not, you almost got us into a barrel of trouble. It was Jody, all right, Tom.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself, Jody?
I'm sorry. I was down there and make them believe I was a space cadet, and, oh, golly, I won't ever do it again.
Well, if you're trying to be a space cadet, you ought to be disciplined the way cadets are.
Disciplined?
Yes, Jody, demerits, mess patrol, scrub detail, the work.
I got a better idea. The flat of my hand on the seat of his britches.
Over my dead body, Junior.
Well, that can be arranged, too, Roger.
Don't let him spank me, Roger. Don't.
He won't lay a finger on you, kid.
Well, what's come over you, Roger?
Nothing. He's only a kid. He didn't know any better. And he said he was sorry. What more do you want?
Oh, I give up. But from now on, keep him off my power deck.
Don't worry, I will. That hole you're working isn't any good for his health. He might grow up to be like you.
Oh, great. Here we go again.
Hey, teleceiver call.
Uh-oh. I bet it's Captain Strong wondering where we are. Rocket cruiser Polaris, Cadet Corbett here.
This is Captain Strong. What's holding you up, Corbett? You're overdue.
Sorry, sir. We had some mechanical trouble. We're on our way now.
All right, but make it fast. Captain Powers is recovering, and he told us a lot more about that meteor. It must be destroyed as soon as possible. As soon as you land, the Polaris will be outfitted for a new operation. The destruction of the sparkling meteor.
Don't miss the next action-packed adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, on Thursday, when the crew of the Polaris rockets toward a deadly trap in part two of The Mystery of the Sparkling Meteor. Tune in same time, same station on Thursday for the next thrilling interplanetary adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Brought to you by Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Corbett, Space Cadet, starring Frankie Thomas, can also be seen on television and appears in the comic sections of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and in weekend editions. Featured in today's cast are Jan Merlin, Al Markham, Edward Bryce, and Sarah Fussell. Today's program was written by Jack Weinstock and Willie Gilbert, directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret. Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
And what a secret! In Kellogg's Raisin Bran, the tasty raisins are dipped in honeycomb. That means plumper, more tender raisins, along with delicious golden crisp bran flakes. Both fruit and cereal all in one box. And no other raisin bran but Kellogg's gives you the tender goodness of raisins dipped in honeycomb. That's Kellogg's secret. So for your breakfast, make sure you get Kellogg's, because
Kellogg's Raisin Bran has a secret.
This program came to you from New York.
Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, on Tuned to Yesterday, an ABC broadcast from the 8th of April, 1952. We'll conclude that storyline next week at the very same time. And this is an hour of continuing stories on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police is next with Episode 3 of a long-running series from 1937.
Gibson of the International Secret Police.
Ceiling zero. Ceiling zero. Ceiling zero. Ceiling zero.
As you remember, in the last episode, Speed Gibson, his uncle, Clint Barlow, ace operator in the International Secret Police, and Barney Dunlap, Clint's working partner, were about to board the China Clipper in disguise and under assumed names, bound for Hong Kong, where the dread criminal, the Octopus, has renewed his smuggling activities.
Just as they approach the giant plane, however, Clint recognizes in one of the other passengers a jewel smuggler whom he and Barney sent to prison a few years previously. The man sees them at the same time, says a few words to his companion, who in turn summons a nearby police officer. The boys try to get to the plane, but are stopped by the officer and the smuggler, who claims to be a private detective and who says that Clint, Barney, and Speed have been acting suspiciously and should be held for investigation. For a few tense moments, it looks as if the boys will miss the Clipper plane, but Chief Riley has been so careful about their passports, using their assumed names and disguises, and has provided credentials so excellent that the officer at last releases our friends and reprimands the supposed private detective to be more careful of his accusations thereafter. He mumbles something about mistaken identity. Then he and the boys board the plane, and now we find our friends comfortably seated in the Clipper, 6 hours out of San Francisco.
Gee, I can hardly believe that we're really flying in the Clipper. Seems most too good to be true.
I'd hate to be flying without it. We must be plenty high to be above the fog down there, Speed.
Yeah. Isn't it swell, Barney? The moon makes the fog look all silver. Folks down on the ocean probably can't see the moon at all, or the stars. Up here, they're as big as anything.
Well, don't get so excited about it, kid.
Gee, I can hardly believe we're really on the China Clipper.
Well, you'd better start believing it, Speed, with that jewel smuggler aboard. I'm just as sure he's a member of the Octopus Gang as I'm sure we're in the air.
I think so, too, Clint. Else why'd he try to keep us ashore by framing us with that cop?
Yeah, our passports are what saved us.
And see that you remember who those passports are made out for, Steve. Now, Barney here is supposed to be Jim Fletcher, a retired Texas oilman. And you're his son, Earl. And I'm your French tutor, Pierre Dorfman.
Don't forget all that when we're talking where people can overhear us, kid.
Well, I won't, Barney. Clint, you look so different with your hair dyed black and curled. And Barney with that fake squint and mustache. Do you think that smuggler really knew who you both were?
Well, I don't know, Speed. Criminals are suspicious of everything and everyone. Now, he may have glimpsed something familiar about it, or his instinct may have warned him of danger. Rather than take any chances, he tried to keep us from flying on the same ship with him.
Yeah, all that business about him being a private detective and us the crooks. I wanted to turn him over to the cop.
Oh, and reveal who we really were? Oh, don't be a chump, Barney. We can't make an official move while we're traveling in disguise and under assumed names.
I know, I know. Have to take everything and can't dish anything out in return.
Oh, don't worry, Barney. We'll get our earnings when we reach Hong Kong. Meanwhile, think of all the excitement we're going to have during the trip. It doesn't seem possible that we'll reach the Hawaiian Islands tomorrow morning.
Yeah, these ships are plenty fast. It's only 18 hours flying time between Alameda and Honolulu.
And after that, our next stop is Midway Island. God.
How long is the stop over at Honolulu?
Just about 24 hours. We take off again the next morning, providing the weather is right.
And am I going to make use of them 24 hours? No sleeping for me. I'm going to go swimming at Waikiki Beach, eat fish and poi, listen to ukuleles, and maybe watch some of those hula dances I've been hearing so much about.
You can do that if you want, Barney. But I'm going to watch that jewel smuggler. And if I have any spare time, I'm going surfboard riding. Boy, I can hardly wait.
Oh, oh, oh. This is the life, Clint. Lunch at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel, and now basking on the sands of Waikiki Beach.
Yeah, but I wish I could be in that water with Speed. Look. Look at that kid right there at surfboard in.
No, he's part flying fish anyhow. You know, Clint, sometimes it makes me stop and think. That kid can do almost everything with just a little practice. Things that it takes me years to learn.
It just runs in the family, Barney. We're just naturally smart.
Oh, yeah? If you're so smart, why didn't you fix this phony mustache of mine so it wouldn't float off in water? I want to go swimming.
Well, try growing one, then you can. Besides, I didn't think you wanted to leave the beach as long as that girl was on it.
Oh, you've noticed her too, huh?
Well, I noticed her during lunch at the hotel. You had a little girl with her then.
Yeah, she's still with her, at least near her. See, in the water almost in a direct line with Speed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I see her now. Well, I hope she doesn't go out too far. Looks like she can't swim.
She's watching Speed. Say, look at that big coma racing toward her. Suffering whang doodles. She's lost her foot and she's going out to sea.
Well, come on, let's go after her.
Oh, Speed! Speed sees her. Hope he can grab her. Speed! Speed!
Keep your head up. I'm coming.
Don't let me go.
Help. Help.
I'm coming.
Here, grab my hand. That's right. Now you're all right. Don't try to swim. Don't try to do anything. Just relax and I'll get you ashore.
That big wave knocked me down.
Now, don't waste breath. Rockin'.
We're coming, Speed. Keep it up.
Oh, swell. Then Barney, you're waiting out to help me.
Come to more, Speed. Look out for that big thing.
All right, now, don't be frightened. That wave choked us. It brought us in.
I'll take the little girl.
You would have been to the top, but for the undertow. It kept pulling against us.
Be careful. Careful. Here comes the young lady.
Dean, honey. Are you all right?
I think so, Mark.
Oh,
sure, she's all right, miss. Just a little waterlogged, I reckon. She'll be good as new when she's dried out.
Oh, how can I ever thank you all? And particularly this young man for saving her. Why, Jean would have been swept out to sea if he hadn't been so near her and acted so quickly.
Oh, Marcia, I thought I was going to drown.
Oh, there, darling. You're safe now. And don't you think you better thank your rescuer?
Yes. Thank you. What is your name?
Spear. Earl Fletcher.
May I introduce ourselves? Earl is the son of Mr. James Fletcher, and I am Monsieur Darcy, the young gentleman's tutor.
Oh, I don't need to tell you how happy we are to meet you all. This is Jean Kingsley, and I'm Marcia Winfield, her governess.
Oh, howdy. Will you and little Jean have supper with us tonight, Miss Winfield?
Why,
Probably Miss Winfield will be dining with Mademoiselle Jean's parents, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, no. You see, Jean's father is in China in the diplomatic service.
Oh, then it's a cinch you won't be eating with him this evening. So you will eat with us, huh?
Well, yes, Mr. Fletcher, we'd love to. And now I'd better take Jean back to the hotel to recover from the effects of her narrow escape. Thank you again.
Goodbye, Speed, Clint, and Barney.
Huh?
Hey, those aren't our names.
Why, no, Jean. Wherever did you hear those names?
Well, that's what they called one another when I was being saved, Marcia.
How come you heard anything when you were half drowned?
No, I don't remember calling anybody anything. I was too busy trying to get in.
Well, probably the child heard us urging Earl to exercise more speed in effecting the rescue. Under such circumstances, it is only natural that such confusion should occur.
Oh, no, Mr. Dorsey. I heard you plain as anything.
Jean, you mustn't contradict. And now come along. We'll see our friends later.
Goodbye. Wouldn't you know a girl to hear things she shouldn't, even when she was drowning?
Oh, out of the mouths of babes. The accident of a split second can upset weeks of careful planning.
Nothing's upset. Miss Winfield didn't pay any attention to the kid.
Well, maybe not. That girl has brains as well as beauty, Bonnie. And you didn't help manners any, Romeo, by asking her to dine with us tonight. The more we stay to ourselves, the less chance of a split-up.
Ah, a little supper won't hurt anything.
We can tell more about that after supper.
Oh, would you care for some more ice cream, Mademoiselle Jean?
Thank you, Mr.
Dorsey. I'd like some more.
More? You had two dishes already. Another one and you'd never leave this table.
Well, you wouldn't mind staying in Honolulu, would you, Earl?
Well, it's swell here, Miss Winfield, but I'm looking forward to the rest of our clipper trip. Midway, Wake, and Guam Islands, Manila, and then Hong Kong. Gee.
Hong Kong. Yes, I'm anxious to reach China soon.
You going over soon?
Tomorrow morning. We'll be fellow passengers on the clipper ship, Mr. Fletcher.
Will you? You and little Jean are flying to China, Mademoiselle?
Yes, I took the position as governess to Jean with that understanding. You see, her father went there 6 months ago and left Jean in my charge with instructions to bring her over as soon as he gave me the word to come. Well, I received that word just the other day, and I was fortunate in being able to get passages on the clipper.
Oh, that's swell, because...
The check, Mr. Fletcher.
Check? Oh, yeah, the dinner check, sure. Let's see what the damages are.
What's that note under it?
Note?
Yeah, it isn't addressed to anyone. Here, I'll open it.
What did it say, Earl?
It says, to all at this table, better not attempt the impossible. Leave well enough alone and do not take the clipper tomorrow morning... The octopus gives but one warning.
The octopus?
Do you know what this means, Mademoiselle?
Yes. Yes, that note is meant for me. The octopus is a terrible criminal who has brought tragedy into my life.
Go on, Miss Winfield.
I can't. I dare not. He knew I was here. He or his spies may be listening to me right now. He's the reason I must go to China.
Can we help you, Miss Winfield?
I don't know. But I trust you and Mr. Dorsey and Mr. Fletcher. I feel that you're perhaps the only people in the whole world I can trust. Will you, for Jean's sake, will you give us your protection until we reach Hong Kong?
But, Miss Winfield, I...
Oh, after we reach China and Jean is safe with her father, I won't bother you anymore. What I must do then, I must do alone. But until then, will you promise us your protection?
You have my promise.
And mine, Mademoiselle.
Me too, Miss Winfield. We'll lift your Zoxus spy, whoever he is. I'm not afraid of anybody who's afraid to fight in the open.
Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police, a 1937 episode, number 3 in the series. And we close out this hour with a broadcast of Chandu the Magician, heard 16 years after the first silver screen debut of the character, with the man known best as Dracula in the movies, Bela Lugosi playing the villain Roxor, and Edmund Lowe starring as Chandu. But the next two motion pictures based on the character, The Return of Chandu in 1934 and Chandu on the Magic Island, featured Bela Lugosi as Chandu the Magician, or Frank Chandler. What we'll hear next marks episode 48 from September 2nd, 1948.
Chandu, the Magician. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of White King granulated soap present for your enjoyment Chandu, the Magician. But before our play begins, may we make a practical suggestion on how to economize on your family clothes budget. That is, buy washable garments whenever you can. Then launder them gently, safely, in White King soap suds. Yes, it is very easy and inexpensive to keep your washables new-looking in gentle White King soap suds. Those suds are safe for all your brightly colored washables. Safe for gay new cottons, pretty rayons, and sheer fine nylons. White King suds safeguard your clothes in still another way. They wash out all the dirt. In fact, the only thing White King suds could possibly be hard on is dirt. They wash off surface soil, wash out hidden dirt. To safeguard all your washables, we know you'll say, as thousands of ladies do, I love White King. On the Mediterranean island of Malta, Frank Chandler has reported the death of the malign Roxor to the Inner Council, who for years have been working to defeat Roxor's scheme to set nation against nation until he rules the world. Awaiting the plane to Algiers, Chandler and the Regents go on a sightseeing trip through the ancient city of Valletta. And there, Bob persuades Betty to go with him into the mysterious catacombs, whose origin and purpose are hidden in the mist of time. Within a few moments, the two are hopelessly lost. Outside, Chandler attempts to reach Betty and Bob by his occult powers. In a secluded corner of the churchyard, Chandler and Dorothy look together into the crystal. Chandu, the Magician.
Still nothing. Dorothy, you know I can't help them unless you control your fear.
Well, I can't help being afraid.
You must.
Well, you said yourself there were miles of those caves. Aren't you afraid for the children?
I know we can find them, but not while you're afraid.
Oh, how can you be so stolid?
Because I know.
Oh, Frank.
Don't let yourself be terrified. Try, Dot. Look into the crystal with me.
All right, I'll try. There's still nothing in it that I can see.
There will be. Just believe that I know. Wait. Wait.
I hear it now. Frank, I see them. There they are, walking down a stone corridor.
Don't look away, Dot.
Yeah,
listen,
that's right.
You can hear them.
We really are lost, Bob.
Well, we'll be okay as long as the lantern holds out. And somebody might come along any minute.
That's the stuff, Martin.
Oh, dear, I hope so.
Oh, Betty, darling.
Steady, Dot. Bob, listen to me.
Huh? I didn't say anything.
Bob, take the next passageway to your right.
Hey, what is this?
Turn right. Right there.
Hey, I must be nuts. I thought for a minute I heard Uncle Frank's voice. Well, let's go this way.
We just came from there, didn't we?
Well, I don't think so.
We've been in a million of these caves, it seems to me.
Well, I have a hunch we haven't been in this one. Well, come on, let's try it. What can we lose?
Well, nothing, I guess. I feel as if I'd been wandering around in here since the year one.
Hey, Beth, look, a light. It's those people that came in just ahead of us.
Oh, I hope it really is. Oh, it's gone, Bob. Oh,
wait, I can still see the reflection. Hey, wait a minute. Hey!
Oh, hurry up.
Who are you? Where have you come from? Where's your guide?
Why, it's a couple of
white
gentlemen.
We've been lost. And we were so scared.
Can we go with you so we can find a way out? We came in alone and sort of lost our way.
Cor Potibacco, you come into the catacombs with no guide. Be glad you do not die in this place.
Oh, now don't scold them, Giuseppe. Of course they must come with us. I just as soon go back now anyway. I've seen all I care to.
But, Signorina, I have not shown you this ancient room.
Oh,
these Americani. Dio mio.
Oh, look, we didn't mean to crash in on you. We'll pay our share of whatever you charge.
Uno. Signore, signorine, you see these pillars? This room is very old. 2,000-3,000 years.
Why, we were in this room just a little while ago. Bob, don't you remember that square thing in the center?
Signorina, there is a story that it was once at the altar of those who worship the devil.
Oh, dear, never mind.
Oh, let's go back outside. I didn't think it would be like this. Oh, why, look, Giuseppe. There's a man behind the pillar. An Arab.
Hey, Beth, look.
It's that Ibrahim that worked for Roxor.
Yeah. Oh, look out for him, Giuseppe. We know him.
It is the son of Robert Regan.
Oh, Bob.
And his daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
How you like to stay here in this dark, empty place and die.
Oh, good heavens.
Look out for your ass, Giuseppe. Bob!
Well, stay where you are, you big porcupine.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. I'll be back. Oh, Giuseppe, did he get away? See?
Oh, darn. His bones have turned to water and he stumped the hornet.
Well, what are we going to do? Oh. We can't see.
Oh, no, Bob, where are you?
Oh, I'm right here, Beth.
Oh.
How about it, Giuseppe? Will somebody come to look for you if you don't come out?
See, they will come sometime. But if I lose a party, I can be guide no more.
Oh, now you can't be blamed because that Arab smashed the lantern.
Oh, I'll say you can't. We know that big lug. He's poison.
You know him?
Well, not exactly. Only he tried to kill our uncle in Cairo.
Oh, dear.
Per Marco, you are a bad luck. I knew it when I saw you.
Okay, maybe we are. But what are we going to do?
Well, that's a very good question.
Everybody wait here. Sit on the floor and wait. I will come back with a man and lantern.
Won't you get lost?
If the curse of the evil eye is not upon me, I will come back.
So it wasn't all your fault, Bob. Oh, how long do you think we've been in here? Mother will be frantic.
Oh, I don't know how long. Seems like a year.
You two are pretty exclusive, sitting way over there talking to yourselves all this time.
We didn't think we were very popular.
Oh, don't be silly. Come on over here with us.
Oh, let's do, Bob. Look out, don't step on anybody.
Oh.
I never saw anything as dark as this place.
We'll be right here. This will be something to talk about when we get home.
Won't it?
Oh, sit down here, Beth.
Okay. Where do you live when you're home?
San Francisco. Where do you?
Beverly Hills. Oh. Isn't that funny?
Well, we're practically neighbors. I'm Judy Allen. This is my mother. Well, you can't see her.
Oh, our name's Regent. Betty and Bob.
Oh, she's your sister.
Sure.
Oh, I wish you'd move over a little. Over by me. I'm glad there's one man in the party. I feel so much safer with a man around. Don't you, Betty?
Oh, yes. I wish there was one around.
Lay off, will you?
Oh, don't say that, Betty. Why, just the way he talks actually makes me feel brave.
Does it? I wish it did me.
Look here. Does your mother know that you two came in here without a guide?
No, she doesn't, Mrs. Allen.
Oh, dear.
We shouldn't have either.
Bobby, how about coming over to the hotel tonight?
Well, I
the orchestra's not bad. Where's the Imperial?
Oh, well, no thanks. I mean, if we get out of here in time, we're catching a plane.
Well, if we miss the plane, you could, Bob. We'll have to stay over until tomorrow.
Oh, let's hope you do miss it. You know, Bobby.
Just Bob, huh?
Well, if you insist. You know who reminds me of Betty?
No, who?
Somebody in pictures. John Lund.
Oh, yes, I know just what you mean. Oh,
look, I'm going to walk down the corridor a little way to see if I can find Giuseppe. He ought to be just around...
Oh, no, you mustn't. It's terribly brave of you, but you mustn't.
Oh, please don't go, Bob. I won't say any more.
Were you kidding him? Oh, but then I don't think sisters ever actually appreciate their brothers. Do you?
Oh, Betty appreciates me all right. I was the one that got her into this.
Well... But if it isn't fatal, why we might not have met at all if you hadn't.
That guide's been gone entirely too long. Oh, I knew it was a mistake for him to go away in the dark like that.
Oh, I'll call him. Hey, Giuseppe! Giuseppe!
Not a sound. Young man, it seems very strange that you and your sister should be acquainted with that Arab creature. The fact that he tried to kill your uncle seems to me...
Oh, Mrs. Allen, we're not mixed up in it. It's only because our uncle's trying to...
Betty, be careful what you say.
I shall report this to the police just as soon as we get out of here.
Oh, no, you mustn't say a word to them, Mrs. Allen.
Really?
Oh, please don't until you talk to my uncle. He'll tell you about... Well, anyway, he'll explain whenever he can.
No doubt. I've heard of foreigners being decoyed into places like this, but it's never happened to me before. You can tell your Arab friend that we never carry much money around with us.
Why, Mrs. Allen, you can't think Bob and I...
Oh, skip it, Betts. Mrs. Allen, if you'll just hold everything until you've talked to our uncle, you'll see.
I hope so. What's the name of this remarkable uncle?
Frank Chandler.
Oh, Bob, there's that horrible man.
Bob, do you think it's Ibrahim again?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Oh, if only it wasn't so dark. He might be creeping up on us right now. I feel as though he's coming closer and closer.
I'm going to hang right onto you, Bobby.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Oh, Bob, look. Look, there's a light.
Yeah, there's another one. Oh, we're sure glad to see you, Giuseppe.
Bob? Uncle Frank.
Here you are. Given your mother a bad scare, you know that, don't you?
Oh, it was my fault, Uncle Frank.
No, it wasn't, Bob.
Who was that laughing?
Oh, gosh, did you hear it?
Who was it?
Well, we thought it was Ibrahim. You know, the man that...
What? Did you see him?
Well, a while ago we did, before he smashed the lanterns. That was Ibrahim, all right.
There were two of them.
We don't know. We didn't see the one that laughed just now.
Well, this is a very pleasant little scene. But if you've come to take us out of here, please do it at once. Our guide's lost somewhere.
Yes. I found him gagged and tied hand and foot just inside the entrance.
I'm not at all surprised. And I hope you won't be leaving, Malta, until the police investigate this. Which way do we go?
Just follow the man with the other lantern.
Fortunately, I know your name. But I'm not the ordinary tourist, you know. I've traveled all over the world, and I know just exactly how to deal with the situation.
Oh, gosh, I have fixed everything now. She'll have you arrested, and we'll never get away from here.
And that old Ibrahim lurking around every corner. Oh, Uncle Frank, please take us out of here right now.
I will, darling. And I hope this is the last time you two get yourself in a spot like this.
Oh, don't worry, Uncle Frank.
Yeah.
What time is it anyway? I feel as if I'd been in here for 20 years.
And where's Mother all this time?
She's in the plane.
You mean she's gone without us?
No, I mean we're taking off as soon as we can get to the airport. This time we're really heading for Algiers.
Now, before we say goodnight, we pause to suggest that you and every member of your family join us every weekday night to hear Chandu the Magician. And we suggest that you try the soap we make, White King Granulated Soap. You will discover that there is no better soap for your washing machine than White King. White King makes plenty of good, rich, foaming soap suds. Long-lasting suds that don't fizzle out on you when your wash water cools down. And when you buy a box, be sure to save the box top, won't you? White King invites you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu, the Magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Chandu the Magician, on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 48, coming to a close from September 2nd, 1948, on Mutual. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next week at the very same time as we continue these stories from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.